You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
They're running down a drain that never would come to me. Running down a drain.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM 750 AM. Big night in the NBA. Especially if you're a Los Angeles Laker fan. Take it one step further if you're a basketball fan. Tonight, Kobe Bryant will be immortalized at the Staples Center. He'll retire not one, but two of his jerseys. Number 8, number 24 will hang into the rafters. A legendary rafter, to say the least, when you look at some of the names. We're going to talk about that and more right now with our next guest, Jameson Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Jameson, always a pleasure to get you on. Thank you.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks for having me as always. Much appreciated.
Definitely. Had to get you on today because really looking at it, and this is kind of sad, but this is probably the last relevant without going abstract conversation that we will have about Kobe Bryant in sports talk radio. I mean, legitimately thinking about it, we'll always have the conversations about the greatest of or the best of his generation or all-time greats, but when you look at relevant stories to the game of basketball in today's current game, this is probably the last day we have a chance to talk about Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, I mean, unless he buys a team or gets part ownership of the Lakers one of these days, yeah, you're probably right, because he's not going to be a GM, he's not going to be a coach, he's not going to come back and play. I really see that this is probably until he buys a team or buys something to do with the Lakers, whether it's something, small ownership here and there or whatever. So that's pretty much what it's going to be. But in terms of the Lakers, I mean, hey, he pretty much dedicated half his life towards the Lakers and their fan base. So, there's no complaints at all. Kobe is a one-of-a-kind guy through all the greatness and all the downfalls. He's the best. He's the best I've ever seen in my lifetime. I mean, that may change shortly with some of the guys that are coming up, but from day one to day end, he's the best I have seen to this point. Again, there's some guys coming, but from what I've seen with my two eyes, he's been the best thus far.
Yeah, I'm glad that that's the way you word that, because this has kind of been my approach to it. I'm a little bit biased when it comes to Kobe Bryant. In fact, I have a daughter named Kobe. I love the Los Angeles Lakers, and I love Kobe Bryant. With that being said, for a player whose career I have been able to watch front to back, I've never seen anyone better. Now, you always have the conversation of who is the greatest of all time. Especially in our field, it's always a hot topic. And it's always funny to me how we compare players that we never got to watch front to back. I mean, we can sit here, we can talk about Michael Jordan. Look, his career went beyond my life. So I didn't get to watch all of Michael Jordan's career. I didn't get to watch all of Magic Johnson's career. I didn't get to watch all of Larry Bird's or Dr. J. I didn't get to watch any of Wilt Chamberlain. I got to watch the tail end of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I mean, I'm throwing out some of the greats of all time. For a player that I've been able to watch front to back, and I'm talking over the last 30 years, nobody has been better than Kobe Bryant in this 30-year span, and I will argue with anyone on that.
I mean, you definitely have an argument. I mean, he's done a lot of good things where you can really have a supporting argument. I mean, I know a lot of people are going to throw LeBron's name up. The one thing I would say is LeBron's career is not over quite yet. He's having an amazing run. He's doing some things we've done before, and if he keeps going on the path he's going, he's probably going to have, people are going to think of him the same way we think of Kobe in terms of the best they've ever seen. Hey, he may be a lot of people's best they've ever seen, but from what I've seen from day one to day end, to me it's Kobe. Now, again, that could change. There's some guys coming up that are extremely good as well. I mean, Kevin Durant is having an amazing career as well. He's halfway in, and with the way he's going on the team he's going, he has a chance to do some extraordinary stuff as well. So there's a couple of guys coming up, but, I mean, Kobe is the guy that these guys modeled their game after and took notes after. So it's kind of, it's kind of how things go. I mean, Kobe was the guy that took the ball from Michael, in terms of not just being the best player in the league, but being the guy that people wanted to be like, they wanted to emulate. He's the guy that the kids, the premier guys, they pretty much modeled their game after and try to be like. And that's when you see the LeBrons and then you see the Durants and then you see all the other guys coming after that. And that's kind of how basketball goes. That's how the game, that's how the game evolves. And it's a beautiful thing.
You talk about Kobe and then comparing him to LeBron or KD, guys that are coming up now, and people are going to say, look, that's the greatest that I ever seen, LeBron or KD. tonight, to me, it's very symbolic having two jerseys up there over this guy's career, because when you see number 8 and you see number 24, this is one of the things that will always separate Kobe from LeBron, from KD, from D. Wade, from whoever it is, whoever you want to compare Kobe to. You want to compare him to MJ, you want to compare him to Magic, Bird, I don't care who, whoever you want to compare him to. When he has two numbers up there in the rafters, they literally represent two completely different careers. It's almost as if you were a movie director and you had, you know, director A handle the first, I don't know, hour of a movie and director B handle the second half of the movie. You're going to get two different visions. That's how I look at number 8 and 24. And one of the things that separates Kobe from everyone else, at least in my eyes, is the fact that this guy stuck it out with one team, even through ups and downs, demanding a trade, really not trusting the front office, having a different vision. He stuck it out. He played 20 years with one team. And it doesn't matter what great we talk about, Jameson, I can't think of another great who stuck it out and won two championships with two completely different cores. It's just unheard of, especially in today's game. I mean, look, LeBron has bounced around from team to team, leaving Cleveland to go to Miami to win a ring, coming back to a very good group in Cleveland to win a ring. KD couldn't get over the hump. He had to go join a few other All-Stars. Kobe stuck it out with one franchise, and he won multiple championships with two different cores. It's unheard of.
It's very impressive, especially in this era where you have free agency and, you know, you have guys going from team to team. And, you know, basically the norm is to go to a different team if things don't work out, to go to a different team. But at the same time, you know, Kobe comes from the same era that Tim Duncan and Dirk come from, where if you're on a team and you have pretty good ownership, you kind of stick it out. You know, I can't blame the players here, because most players don't have the chance to play for the Lakers. The Lakers, you know, up until recently have had the best, you know, organization front office-wise and personnel-wise. You know, it was the Lakers. It's the best brand in basketball. So, you know, the things were pretty solid and stable up front for a very long time throughout his team there. A lot of players can't say the same. That's one of the best things about being a Lakers. You get treated like royalty, and it's a great organization. Now, some things change over the last few years, and things are getting back on track. But, you know, there are some times where things were kind of rocky, like you mentioned. It looks like things are getting, you know, back to normal. But I can't fault anyone for leaving if there's a bad situation. And, hey, Kobe almost left. There was a chance where there's a couple of deals on the table where he could have left. He could have said, hey, you know, I'm going to Chicago. You know, like, we're going to get Luol Deng and Ben Gordon and a couple other guys and some picks or whatever. And I think there's a trade with Detroit with, like, Rip Hamilton and some picks and some other player. Like, so there was things, but at the end of the day, it stuck out, and the Lakers made it work. He made it work, and it was best for everyone involved, because the Lakers aren't the same without Kobe and vice versa. The two go together for better or for worse. They go together, and it's a 20-year marriage that really, well, beyond 20 years, but it's a 20-year relationship that has pretty much, you know, he's endeared himself to all the fans and people of Los Angeles and the people who rep the fan base across the world.
Again, our guest right now is Jameson Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. You mentioned Tim Duncan. I'm going to throw Dirk Nowitzki in that category as well. With the way the NBA has changed, and I like to call it the fraternity mindset, it's not an us versus them type deal anymore. It's a family. Players are a family. It doesn't seem like the loyalty for players necessarily lies within the organization as it does with each other, some of the guys that they grow up around. And look, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's not what I grew up watching. But at the same time, you have kids coming into the league now, 18, 19 years old. They turn into men with these kids that they come into the league with, if that makes sense. So, again, I'm not saying anything negative about the fraternity mindset. But when we see Kobe's 8 and 24 go up tonight, there are two other jerseys that will signify the end of an era in the NBA, and that's Tim Duncan and Dirk Nowitzki. Outside of these three players, I don't know that we ever see a superstar spend upwards of 20 years with a franchise and make significant contributions in the process, such as five championships if we're talking about Kobe, or if we're talking about Duncan, or a championship if we're talking about Dirk Nowitzki. These three guys signify the end of an era in the NBA.
You're correct, but also remember, those three guys play for the Lakers, the Spurs, and the Mavericks. All those front offices have great track records in terms of stability, in terms of knowing how to put together a roster, knowing how to put together a franchise, and being contenders for most of the time they were there. I mean, the Spurs have been contenders for 20 years. Same thing with the Mavericks. For the most part, up until recently, they've been in the playoffs. I think they had a streak of like 16 or 17 years of being in the playoffs, when before it was like the opposite. They hadn't made the playoffs for like 15 or 16 years. So they had, you know, those two other teams were very, very solid, and those two teams really had a foundation from the top on down, and we don't see that enough in the league because there's not enough owners who are dedicated to putting a quality basketball product on the court. However, there's one guy you didn't mention that is the new age version that has a chance.
Russell Westbrook.
And that's Curry. To Steph Curry.
Ah, Steph Curry. Okay. I could see that. I could see Steph Curry. I do. You know, maybe I want to throw Russell Westbrook in that as well because, to me, he's just cut from that 80s cloth. I mean, he's a raw savage. He's the closest thing to Kobe today.
But here's the thing. Here's the issue with Russ. If this thing in OKC blows up this year, which is a high possibility it does, and they go out in the first round and both Melo and Paul George bounce, he's going to be by himself again. And he's going to look, he has four or five more years in OKC with no help in sight. It wouldn't surprise me if he says, you know what, I'm going to go elsewhere and try this thing that I tried here. It didn't work out. Steph hasn't made in the Bay Area. He just signed a five-year deal, $200-something million. They have a team that's going to be competing and contending for the next at least 4 years, as long as everyone stays healthy, if not longer. By that time, he would be close to like 13 or 14 years in. He's a guy I can see playing close to 20 years or right around that time. Same team. He's going to have a statue. Whenever they build that stadium up in San Francisco, he's going to have a statue in front of that. Because without him, none of this stuff is ever possible. Russ is probably going to have a statue, too. It's going to be a while, but he's not going to have the same hardware as other guys we mentioned earlier in the show.
It's a fun conversation as well. Jameson, before I let you go, we've talked a lot about Kobe Bryant. You and I have had countless conversations about Kobe, be it here on Drive Time Sports or on the Triple Threat podcast. We've also had several guests come in. I've had a chance to interview Kobe. You've had a chance to interview Kobe. That guy right there signifies everything that I love with the game of basketball. At the end of the day, when you look back on his career, I think you're hard-pressed to find a more fascinating individual. I think you're more hard-pressed to find a better career that will actually, you can visually see the ups and downs and what he was able to overcome, be it his rookie season, putting up the air balls in Utah, to winning three championships, to going through the whole Colorado situation and the fallout with Shaquille O'Neal and playing with three other Hall of Famers for a season in which they came up short, to demanding a trade, to sticking it out, putting up unbelievable numbers, scoring 81 points in a game, winning two more championships, wearing number 24, winning an MVP, and then closing out his career with 60 points. You're hard-pressed to find a more stellar career that is so fitting for a storybook.
Yeah, the 60 points to end it is amazing. Like that, especially at home, like that's really amazing. And all the nerds out there who talk about PER and efficiency, you know what? Sometimes it's not about that. Like a lot of times you can measure efficiency and all that. It sounds good. I get it. That's the area we're in. But sometimes the numbers can't tell you what a bucket does to somebody when you get a tough basket over somebody, how demoralizing that is to the defender that's trying their best. You know, you can talk about PER, efficiency rating, all the O rating, all that stuff. I don't care anything about that stuff a lot of times because when you're looking at a game, when you're watching a game, especially in a close game, you can't measure when somebody comes down and hits three shots in a row and what that does to a defender, whether it's Tony Allen defending Paul George or whether it's some random two guard. You can't measure that. So that's why I think a lot of the nerds and the stat geeks out there, they kind of have to find a way to measure both the analytical side and the real eye test, real life side, because there's certain things the numbers just can't tell.
You know, even going past that, there's a specific moment in Kobe's career that I'd be doing a disservice if we did not talk about. We're going to remember him standing on the scores table holding up five. We're going to remember him, as a teenager winning the dunk contest, you know, winning his first championship and jumping into Shaq's arms, feeding up the lob to Shaq in Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. I mean, we go on and on. I mean, there's all these moments of Kobe Bryant's career that we are going to remember. Really, though, looking at what he brought to the game and even why rivals who hate Kobe on the court respect him on nights like tonight, I mean, is there a bigger moment from an inspiration standpoint than him tearing an Achilles, stepping up and knocking down two free throws in a must-have game?
Yeah, that's the crazy part. I remember. Here's the thing. I remember the game before that where, like, his last great, great game besides the 60-point game where he put up, like, over, I think it was, like, 47 and, like, 15 or something crazy. Like, he had a crazy stat line. And in Portland, you know, that was Dame's rookie year. You know, Dame was having a phenomenal game. I think he had like 35. So it was a crazy game back and forth. Like, it's on the way to win. And I was like, man, like, Kobe's really willing this team to get to the playoffs. Like, if they get in, if they get the right matchup, who knows what's going to happen. But, you know, he really willed them to, you know, you know, he got them in a decent position. And the Golden State game, he had kind of fell down a few times, and it was kind of weird. It was like, all right, he should maybe come out. You know, maybe he should come out because, you know, his legs were kind of just like, you know, failing him. His body was failing him. But he kept on trucking, and he eventually tore his Achilles, and that was that. But, and then he made the two free throws. But, yeah, I think a lot of it was the game before because he really had nothing left. Like, he had absolutely nothing left, but he put, like, all his – I mean, he put everything into that game. I mean, they had to have a game. They were, you know, trying to get into the playoffs, and he won it. And that was impressive. That was really impressive.
Yeah, again, I mean, that's just one of those moments. I'll never forget it. I mean, I've seen guys tear their Achilles that have to be carried off the court, and that's not an insult. I mean, that's a devastating injury. We see this all the time. If it's baseball, if it's football, you got to be carted off the field. This guy stood up, walked up, hit two foul shots, and then walked off the court. And I think that just kind of signifies everything. I mean, I think it's a true picture of everything that was Kobe Bryant's career.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I mean, he did it his way, and not a lot of people can do it that way. A lot of people have to get their careers chosen for them or things happen, but he did it his way, and it worked out at the end of the day. I mean, I don't think anyone can complain about a 20-year career, 5 championships, bunch of all-star games, all that. I don't think anyone could really say that's a good, you know, I don't think anyone could say that's a bad thing. I just don't think so.
Jameson Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com joining us to talk about Kobe Bryant getting not one but two numbers in the rafters tonight in Staples Center as the Lakers take on the Golden State Warriors. Jameson, I always look forward to the conversations. Thank you again for the time.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always.
We got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return.